Sponsored No Holds Barred Talk. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. Thanks for being with us here tonight for another late night Moonbat edition of the broadcast. And sounds like we're getting some distortion there. Let me see if I can figure out where that's coming from. It's like every week after we come back from a weekend or something, this stuff just gets a mind of its own over the weekend. I don't know how that happens. Let me make a few adjustments here. And see what we've got. All right. Thanks so much for being with us here tonight for another late night Moonbat edition of the broadcast. Yeah, it is Monday, going into Tuesday morning now, August 1st into the 2nd, 2011. Glad you could be with us here tonight for the show. Mondays, as per usual, are always a pretty hefty news day for us, so we've got quite a bit of that to get into for you here on the show tonight, and we'll be also taking your emails as well. Love to have those. If you've got emails you want to send in, you have things you want to hear me talk about on the show, if you have topics, questions, anything else, please send those over to me at globalrealityshow@gmail.com. That's globalrealityshow@gmail.com. I always get into those live here for you on the broadcast, and I'm happy to take those during the show while we're live here. So if you're staying up late with us tonight, thank you for being here. If you're listening to us on an archive, rebroadcast, YouTube video, something else, thank you for listening as well, and you can always send me emails, and I will get those, get into those the following show. So if you're listening to this later on an archive and you have a question or you have a topic you want to hear me talk about, that's where you send that, globalrealityshow@gmail.com. My website where this broadcast originates from, www.theglobalreality.com. It's www.theglobalreality.com. There you will find the links to listen to the stream live. You'll also find all of our nifty things there, like all of my films, clips from the show, mini films that I've done, all that stuff up there, theglobalreality.com. We also have the Chip and Bear and the donate button there as well. That's how you support our work. We don't have commercials. We don't sell you gold or water filter or freak out bug out supplies, but we do have to have support to continue, so that's how you do that. Also, if you absolutely cannot use PayPal and your hands are tied there, you can always use the P.O. Box address and send a check or whatever else you want to send there, but that's how you do that. That's at the website as well, theglobalreality.com, where the P.O. box is located. The address is located there underneath the donate button. So that's where you find that as well. I don't know if I have any emails to get into. I don't think I've really got any in since last week. I'm trying to look. Make sure I didn't overlook anything. See here. Oh, I did want to mention, got a pretty interesting email on Friday. Apparently, this guy who's the producer of this film that Dean Hoagland that was on The X-Files, Lone Gunman, you know, Langley from The Lone Gunman, if you ever watched Lone Gunman or watched The X-Files or the spinoff Lone Gunman series. You know, the guy with the blonde hair and the glasses that kind of look like Geddy Lee. That was Dean Hoagland. And he's been around sort of the truther and conspiracy circles for about as long as I've been on air. I know that when I was on Truth Net Radio, we had a sponsor, the Chill Pack. It's this thing that you cool your laptop down with it. And Dean Hoagland was a sponsor of Truth Net Radio when I was over there or doing my show there back in 2007, 2008. And he was one of our sponsors over there. And we had his commercial, and it was actually Dean Hoagland's voice that played on the network. But he made a documentary, I guess recently, called The Truth Is Out There, and I got contacted by the producer of that and asked me if I might want to have Dean Hoagland on the show sometime. So I thought, wow, that's awesome. It's amazing. I have wanted to have Dean Hoagland on the show for a very long time. So that's cool. That's very awesome. And I got to say thanks to everybody out there who's spread around my new mini film, the Norway Massacre and Winehouse Templar Cartel film. I mean, this thing's it's gone viral beyond any of my other films, quicker than any of my other films. We put out Reality of Illusion series part 4 back in December 30th, 2010. And I thought that was bombshell information concerning Julian Assange and the White Brotherhood and the rest of this stuff. It took that one from December until now to get 3,765 hits. The current video, which was posted on Thursday night of last week, has received 3,581 hits so far. And I noticed it's on like the front news page of Red Ice Creations. But again, thanks to Henrik and the whole Red Ice group over there. Since I've been over there, they've been really doing a good job promoting the show that I was on. They've had it up on their front page for. I don't want to. Maybe I'm wrong about this, but I want to say they've had that show that we've done. I want to say they've had that up there on their front page for longer than they have most shows. I could be wrong about that, but I want to say that they've had it up there quite some time. It's amazing, and they also posted that video, and they it's done. It really has given my reach the little boost that it needed. You know, I mean, my YouTube video channel is going crazy with hits. They're just going through the roof on all of my videos recently because of the Red Ice appearance and some of the bombshell information. I can't wait till I get a chance to go back on Red Ice again and do another throwdown, because I didn't even scratch the surface of info. And I think bringing out some of the deeper stuff that I have, and I like it's much easier to do that sometimes for me in the condensed interview format. Because, you know, with a show, I always don't like to repeat myself. And I've read volumes upon volumes of CMP information on the show through the years, dedicated entire shows, days and weeks and months of CMP stuff on the show. So I don't do that much anymore because I've done that in the past. You can find all of that stuff online. Archive.org is a great one. Just go search Josh Reeves, Global Reality there at archive.org. You can find a lot of great shows. A lot of my super fantastic, just classic shows that I did in 2008, 2009, on and on and on, are up there. But, it does seem that, you know, like I've been talking about, you know, if our financial support ever catches up to the reach that and the effect that we're starting to have, then we won't ever have to worry about anything, as far as, you know, keeping this thing running ever again. But I don't, it ever getting to that point is what's up in the air. But I'm just blown away by it, man. There's so many, I see my stuff getting posted everywhere now. And I finally kind of have gotten what I always wanted. All I ever wanted to do in all this was be able to have become, you know, sort of a prominent person enough to where my information would reach quite a few people. I never would have dreamed it would have become. I didn't, you know, because when I started doing my radio show, all of this was not as important as it is now. And I don't know if all of you out there listening understand that. But that's the absolute truth. When I started doing this, it was just me wanting to do something. Anything I could do to try and get the word out, you know. And then within, you know, the first week of doing that and having Professor Peter Dale Scott on my show and finding out about the CMP and going from there, the work that I've, and the stuff that I've stumbled into and the stuff that I've been exposing and working on for almost 4 years now has become important during that time, because at first it went from nobody would listen to me about it, everybody didn't want to hear it, and there still is some of that, but most of those people are brain dead and, you know, they're not going to make it anyway, so fuck them. But, you know, now it's become a very important piece of this whole thing, and one that's starting to gain a lot of ground. I think that, and I'll go ahead and announce this here for the first time. I talked about last week, you know, I didn't know if I was going to do films anymore after the Cigarette Volume 2 was out. I may not. I don't know. Although working with Lee Iovino, I may be able to get some stuff done in a cheaper, way cheaper and more effective and quicker manner. So I may do that. But wanted to go ahead and put this out there for the first time. I actually because I wanted to be done with this EMP stuff. I really have. I wanted to move on to other topics and things. And I do indeed plan to do that and make other films on other topics. Hopefully. Get some capital coming in here, you know, or get somebody who wants to come forward and give us a real budget, you know, up front, not, you know, not this thing where we're having to ask listeners to give us, you know, $500 here or this month or, you know, $1,000 6 months after that or whatever. That just takes forever. But if we ever get to that point again, yeah, I'll definitely want to, the big film I want to make on secret society, secret knowledge, the whole deal. That's the big one I want to make. But I am going to be writing a book, and I hope to try and get it at least, you know, independently published. But I'm going to be writing a book and putting together what will, I hopefully think, will be the comprehensive, most comprehensive and most well-researched book, and probably the only book besides stuff like, you know, Course Connection, some of those books that those guys put out on the CMP, good stuff. But I'm going to be doing a book on the CMP. I decided I want to write my first book. I want to do a book. I'm going to do that instead of doing a movie. And hell, if I just put it out as a PDF or whatever, you know. But I'd like to try to get something published, get something printed as well, because I think it needs to be in the conversation. That's what I've said about this information for the longest time. I think that information needs to be in the conversation. I think we need to have, you know, video. That's the whole reason why I decided to make films, because people don't read. But at the same time, I've got so much research and so much information on the CMP stuff. It would take me years and years and years and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of DVDs and films to make it, to put it all in there, when I could just as easily take all this information that I already have and put it in a book format and put it out there. And hopefully with that, with a companion, with the two films and other films on the same subjects by Lee Rogers and other people out there, hopefully those things will add to the conversation and get people to start figuring out what's really going on. And we don't have a lot of time left to do this. I mean, obviously with the stuff that's in the news, they're gearing this stuff up fast and furious. So we, I'm not one of those people that really gets into the, oh, you know, we don't have a lot of time left because, you know, December 21st, 2012 is right around the corner. That's not what I'm talking about. I mean, I don't think we have a lot of time left before these guys start really getting ready to launch the next level of this operation. And there it went like clockwork at almost the same exact time. Yet again, my mic started doing something wonky and weird. I don't know what's going on with this. I can't believe it started doing this again. Did this last week at almost the exact same time in the show, and I can never figure out what's happening with it. It's just something just drops out. I don't know. Anyway, globalrealityshow@gmail.com. If you have any emails you want to send in tonight, love to have Love to have those sent in. GlobalRealityShow@gmail.com. Somebody said that if I get enough traffic on a YouTube channel, I can be paid by some of the pop-up advertisements. Yeah, I understand that. And I have been offered, content, you know, like content sharing, that kind of thing. I've been offered that with a lot of my videos because they've gotten a lot of views. But I've just, I've just flat refused to go that route because it's kind of with the same thing of why I don't have commercials. And every time I go to watch somebody's YouTube video and I have to sit through a commercial, I'm very irked about that. I know I probably could pull a lot of revenue off of there, but again, that's, you know, I don't really want to have to resort to that. But at the same time, I'm considering, you know, it's hard to want to put as much effort into something and then have to give it away for free. I'm having a harder and harder time as I get older doing that. You know, I did that at first when I did, you know, 9/11 New World Rising. Secret Rite, I didn't have it online for 2 weeks before I finally put it up and people bitched and pissed and moaned and everything else. And, you know, I talked about that last week, putting a value on what you do. You know, I'm getting to that point, man, where it's going to be harder and harder for me. Because you wouldn't ask any other director or anybody else in the world who makes films to put their shit out for free. But because it has to do with information, we're all expected to put all our stuff out for free and put it on YouTube immediately as soon as we make it. Just demanded by people. And you know, I'm just getting to the point where I just don't want to do that anymore. If people buy it and upload it on YouTube on their channel, and I don't want it on YouTube yet, I'll ask them to take it down. Or I'll, you know, because I'm just flat tired of doing this. I think that, just have to put all this work. Because, I mean, you know, when somebody watches a film, they watch a two-hour film or whatever, they watch 2 hours. Okay, it's 2 hours. That's gone. Well, yeah, that's 2 hours of your life you spent watching that. But that was, you know, 20,000 hours of my life spent making that thing, and it just blew by you. You know, something that took me 3 months to work on just blew by you in like 2 minutes, you know. That's a very difficult thing. Just to see that, because nobody ever, there's not a, I was thinking about this sometimes, it's like videoing the entire process of me making a film and posting it, because it would just blow people's minds. The tedious bullshit, the tedious, you know, oh God. Shit crashing on you all the time. And it just becomes very difficult to put, you know, your all into something and then be expected to give it away for nothing. I don't know. I don't know if that's wrong. That's just the way I feel, so I got to be honest about it. All right, let's see what we have here tonight as far as news. I don't even want to talk about the fucking news. I don't want to talk about anything, to be honest with you. What more do I need to say? I guess in the words of Bill Hicks, let me plaster on a fake smile and plow through this shit one more time. Indeed. I just don't feel it. God. I just don't feel like I have anything to say about this shit. Sometimes, not all the time, but just sometimes, some days, you feel like, what more could I possibly tell you about this? How many more iterations? How many more ways can I say this stuff? Just because you are in the dark about something doesn't make it any less true. Everybody thinks just because they've never heard something before that it must be. You ever notice that? I don't know where that comes from. I don't know how we've all, but it's everybody, every single person on this planet has that. I guess it's from our early childhood conditioning and conditioning in schools and whatnot, but it just seems that, you know, anytime that we hear something that we're like, nuh-uh, you know, we all do that. Somebody says, hey, man, I saw a donkey eat a cat and get run over by a train. Nuh-uh. No way. Yeah, really, I saw it. Oh, there's no way, man. You know, because anytime we hear something that we're, you know, that we're not familiar with or something that we think, you know, we've never heard of, we automatically assume it's not true. And if every single person out there indeed does have that, and it's been my experience that every single person does, every human has that, you know, they just automatically assume something they've never heard of, you know, that seems fantastical or something, is it can't be true because they've never heard of it. Well, just because you've never heard it doesn't make it any less true. And, you know, there are so many people running around out there on false premises and basing their whole belief system that they have on a false premise. You know what I mean? As soon as something challenges their worldview that they've been programmed with, they go on the attack, on the condemnation attack, instead of, you know, stepping back objectively and saying, okay, well, you know what? That sounds fucking wacky. But I'm gonna go look into this for myself and see what's going on with this. But 90% of people don't do that. 90% of people go immediately on the attack, immediately on the defensive. Their brain starts, it's like a defense mechanism. Everything they've ever been programmed with starts being regurgitated out of their mouth and just spewed out. Well, that can't be true because this scientific principle says this and that and that. And I remember in seventh grade textbook, we learned about this, blah, blah, blah. That's the average person's response. Because that's, you know, all of these things that we get programmed with in the media, I mean, everything. Sports, movies, game shows, talk shows. All these things, there's little things in all of these, all the sum total of everything you've ever watched media-wise on the internet or on TV or on the radio, anything, is subliminally and subconsciously programming you in ways you have no idea about. And sometimes you won't even notice have done until much later. We're very sort of unaware of how much our personalities are being forcefully programmed for us by all media. So we get these things where, you know, as soon as we hear something that sounds fantastical, the programming kicks in and we all automatically go into, you know, fight, team blue, go, team red, go, bam, you know, me versus you. Now it's, you know, and people want to get into these, they're trying to drag you into some pseudo-intellectual pissing contest. You know, and they'll start bringing up some shit that they read in, you know, sophomore year at junior college, you know. Because, again, it challenges their worldview. It challenges what they've seen. And, you know, I think a lot of us, including myself, all of us, most of us have, for a long time, been very patient with those kind of people. Because a lot of those people are loved ones and family members and people you work with and neighbors and everything else. So, you know, while we want to everybody to be at least searching for their own truth and not just buying what's forcefully fed to them, it's, you know, we sometimes allow certain people a pass, you know. Well, that's just so and so, and that's just how they are, and they're never gonna change. So, you know, I'm not even gonna fuck with them. I'm not even gonna try telling them this stuff. And I think of the time for you or me or anybody else to allow that and to just sit back and allow somebody to be willfully ignorant about nothing, you know, nothing more than just information. things that anybody can go and find for themselves if they just want to put in a little work to do it. Most people just, fuck it, I don't want to change, you know. But I think that the time has come now where, you know, in the past we may have let those kind of people slide and said, oh, you know, that's just how they are. I think that we should no longer let those people slide, ever. Not you, not me, not any of us. Because time is short and there's too much at stake. People need to understand that you know, when you're trying to wake them up to information, you're doing it because you care about them, because you love them, because you see some glimmer of hope that something in them could change and they could be a better person than they currently are. But they won't allow themselves to be that because of this goddamn bullshit, programmed, machismo, ego, horseshit, where they're afraid of what their friends or their coworkers or anybody else is going to think about them if they start to expand their mind beyond what's on FM radio and cable TV and Clear Channel and everything else. And that's why we're in this big dividing time, the Great Divide, you know. That's what 2011 is, the Great Divide. And this, in this Great Divide, there are going to be people. You are going to lose people around you. I don't mean lose people around you just because, you know, with everybody dying. I mean, my God, there's a lot of people dying lately. Have you noticed that? This year has just been one nonstop funeral. Everybody, you know, has had tons of people in their life die. It's ridiculous. But that but I don't mean that. I mean, you're going to lose people in terms of it's the Great Divide, and the people that are going to ascend, and the people that are going to be, that are essentially going to be there to reseed the planet and to you know, continue and carry on. And there's going to be some people that aren't going to make it, they're not going to be ready when the big changes start to happen and occur. They're not going to be able to process it, they're not going to be able to handle it, and they're not going to make it. And we are starting to reach a time where there are going to start to be revelations, some controlled by the hierarchy, some not. But there are going to be revelations of all kinds that are going to make it very difficult for anyone to ignore. And again, people who have looked into some things, real reality things for themselves, and made their own conclusions and own decisions about that and assimilated it into their person and continue on with their bit with the business of living and stuff, while at the same time thirsting for more knowledge and more information and trying to thirst for getting other people to have that same thirst for knowledge and information. Nobody's telling you to, you know, quit your job and go carry a sign outside of a fucking courthouse or anything. You don't even have to do that. It doesn't take a radical change. It just takes a change of something. And believe me, your life will change. As soon as I started doing my radio show, my life's changed a million times over. I can't even tell you. Just because when you're on that path of doing what you're supposed to be doing, the universe acknowledges that, and it just continues to put you in the place you need to be, and the people that need to be around you just continually show up. And it's just, before I started doing this, I never did anything in my life that was for the right reasons. It was always for stupid material gain or anything else. And when I started doing this, it never even was part of it. It was, oh my God, I have to do something. And I've noticed that because of that, some power greater than me and greater than my show and everything else, for some reason, is somehow behind what I'm doing. It's fucking remarkable. And you don't have to believe me when I tell you that. And I'm not telling you that because I want you to believe me. I'm simply telling you it because it's the truth, because I can tell you I'm exactly like you are. And if I heard somebody say what I just said, I probably wouldn't believe them either, because those things are very subjective experiences. And that's often when people have you know, a what you would call a spiritual experience or a religious experience or, you know, a supernatural experience. We're seeing UFO or anything like that. We always attempt to try and explain to somebody, whoever's closest to us, you know, or family members, about what we saw. But no matter what, how much of a command you seem to have over your language, no matter how versed you are, how many words you can speak, you can never quite get across to anybody that experience that you felt. Why? Because it's subjective, and it was for you and you alone to experience. So when you try to explain it to someone or anybody or anything, it cheapens the thing. That's kind of how it is for me with this. But the biggest thing that I can say to anybody out there is, just do something, anything, but for God's sake, don't sit back and just allow people that, you know, that comfort of willful ignorance. When we offer that up to people, we're doing ourselves a great disservice because we're giving them a free pass. We're saying to them, you know, it's okay that you want to stick your head in the sand like an ostrich. You know, oh, you don't have to, you don't have to look at this. We just can't do that anymore. I think we've all been guilty of that. Every one of us has been guilty of that. But again, we have to understand that some people are not going to make it. Some people are not going to know how to survive without the nanny state, the system that has, you know, there. I mean, I see these people, especially people like in the corporate world, corporate jobs and stuff like that. My God, man. These people eat, sleep, live, and breathe that shit. They become their job. They become defined by their shitty office job in a cubicle, you know. And that's how they are all the time, is that. These people are not going to know how to operate when this thing comes crashing down. And judging by the results of their, you know, debt crisis talks, from what I've gathered, what I've looked at, the only thing that they fixed was their inability to fuck us even harder than they already were. It seems they were having a problem. They fucking us over and killing America wasn't enough. So what did they do? They raised the debt ceiling, and they said, oh, yeah, but we're cutting spending, but so blah, 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 well, which is a lie. And they have decided to increase borrowing. So let me get this straight. We're getting ready to default. You raise the debt ceiling, which is phony again. Okay, we'll raise it, and that means we're not in debt till this much. Now, maybe I'm just dense. But if you or I go into debt, right, and we go, okay, you're $100,000 in debt. You got to pay this shit off or they're going to, you know, take everything you own. Okay. Now, can you and I just go, well, let's go ahead and let's bump our debt ceiling up a little bit. Yeah, go ahead and bump my debt ceiling up to $150,000. Y'all call me once I hit $150,000 and then we'll work something out, all right? See you then. No. These guys can just say, yeah, we're in debt, but if we sit around in a room and argue about it for a couple of weeks, we can just decide that we're not in debt till we get to this number. And that should tell you how phony this whole thing is. So their solution was to somehow, you know, just decide for themselves what number represents us being in debt. And then they said, okay, well, our solution is we're just going to borrow more so that and so that borrowing more money will ensure that we reach that new ceiling quicker. The whole goddamn thing was a farce. And the fact that people aren't rioting in the streets right now tells me that either HAARP is working really well, we were all getting our daily recommended dose of fluoride, or people have been reduced to such a goddamn idiotic level they cannot tell that the United States government just in their face told them that they had a problem, found a solution to the problem, and now it's all taken care of and that's it. When in reality, even if you just read the articles, the mainstream news articles about what it says they did, they raised the point, you know, again, how can you just say I'm $100,000 in debt, but hey, I'm just going to decide that I'm not going to really be in debt until it gets $150,000. Okay. No, that's not how it works. So they get to do that. Then they also get to increase the borrowing to get us back to that number quicker because they know they can't pay the shit back and it's all phony anyway. And they're not going to cut any spending. In fact, military spending will not see any sort of cutbacks. I'm sure it won't see any kind of cutbacks at all. I do have some stories here if I can find them. Debt deal barely changes DOD spending expectations. The new debt deal reached over the weekend by the White House and congressional leaders does little to change industry expectations for defense spending. Under the new plan, up to $350 billion of the initial $900 billion in cuts to discretionary spending would come from the Pentagon's budget over the next 10 years. This is a $50 billion less than the defense cuts President Barack Obama outlined in April. The Defense Department could be called on to cut another $500 billion, but only if Congress is unable to reach a bigger deal before Christmas. So all these guys did was do exactly what they did with the phony bailouts. They did it all over again, and people, again, are just convinced that, you know, they actually did something when they didn't do a goddamn thing but enable themselves to be able to continue on business as usual. And most people don't even know. Probably would call that a conspiracy theory when it's a fact. They're continuing on business as usual, and they're just ensuring that we get fucked and this country gets killed even more assuredly than they had already done. That's just unfucking believable. See what else we got here tonight. Oh, this is rich. Federal court rules human genes can be patented. Are they what are they going to do now? Is it going to be like, you know, if you got an organic farm across town, somebody's got a GMO Monsanto farm and they're cross-pollinates yours and they come over and test your fields and determine that it's cross-pollinated, they, you know, fucking take your land and take, you know, sue you for copyright infringement. What is it? What are they going to do? Are they going to, you know, they're going to patent all of our genes for all the humans alive and then claim that all of us are in copyright violation because we didn't get permission from them to use their patented genes when we were born? It wouldn't surprise me. Oh, yeah, this is why we need to put you all in FEMA camps, because you're in violation of this. And listen to this. The United States Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit Court ruled in a 2-1 decision Friday that human genes can be patented because the DNA extracted from the cells is not a product of nature. What? Anunnaki, party of one, your table's now ready. Anunnaki, party of one, your table's now ready. Now, seating you in the, is a patio going to be tonight? Okay, tonight, sir, Mr. Inkey. Yes. Now, you look like you'd use a smoke there, bud. I mean, seriously, DNA extracted from cells is not a product of nature? Then what is it a product of, pray tell? Notice they don't offer that information. So DNA extracted from cells is now not made in, is not a product of nature. Right, because it's a product of, well, nature would be what? Anything naturally found on Earth? So what do they say? DNA extracted from cells is not a product of nature, not a naturally occurring thing on Earth. That would indicate that that it came from somewhere else now, wouldn't it? See, none of the rest of the article is about that. Now, the rest of this is saying, oh, now we can patent your genes. I mean, it's just unbelievable. They can go ahead and... you're in copyright violation. We're using our genes. What? Oh, man. You guys hear about that puff, Grover Norquist? God damn, this is pure liquid gold. The guy is just such a little fag. I'm sorry. No offense if you're gay. I don't have anything against gay people. And I always have to call these Republicans fags because they're just, you know. You know, these guys, how many stories do we have, these Republican guys? Like the one guy, was the head of the anti-gay group, gets caught with, you know, rentboy.com, perfect sculpted 8-inch cock. He was just carrying my luggage around for me all weekend. I swear, I'm not gay. Just tell everybody you're gay. Quit running around saying that you're against, you know, gay rights and all this stuff, and then meanwhile you're, you know, taking it in the pooper in the back room. I mean, come on. But listen, you know, Grover Norquist, our Council for National Policy cocksucking buddy here. Listen to this. Norquist says Scott Brown looks great in a bathing suit. Excuse me? He actually said this on TV. Small government crusader Grover Norquist thinks that Senator Scott Brown has the assets necessary to win re-election. If the Republicans are going to take the Senate in 2012, Norquist told ABC Christine's Amanpour Sunday, if you look up at the 23 Democrat seats, half of them are in reddish states. And 10 in Republican Senate seats up, all in reasonably Republican states, with the possible exception of Massachusetts. And Scott Brown has got $10 million in the bank and looks great in a bathing suit. Now, you notice that whole long sentence, that's a big spill. There's no periods in there. And then just at the very end slides in, all reasonably Republican states, the possible exception in Massachusetts, and Scott Brown has got $10 million in the bank and looks great in a bathing suit. It wasn't clear if Norquist had personally seen the senator in a bathing suit or if he was fondly remembering Brown's 1982 nude centerfold in Cosmo. So Grover Norquist, we should just label, that needs to go up on the website. We just need to post that as Grover Norquist outs himself as gay. That needs to be what the title of that article needs to be. Thanks there, Grover. Thanks for confirming what we already knew, bud. Appreciate that. Love when you guys do that. Makes me smile. We talked about last week, you Al-Qaeda 2.0, the return.
Suck Satan's cock.
And, it's out of control. Well, now they're saying that... Well, just listen to this. Christian terrorist, Norway case strikes debate. When the enemy is different and outsider, it's easy to draw quick conclusions to develop stereotypes. It's simple human nature. There is us and there is them. But what happens when the enemy looks like us and is from the same tradition and belief systems? That is the conundrum in the case of Norway's Anders Behring Breivik, who is being called a Christian extremist or a Christian terrorist. And, just as we predicted, we knew this would be used to ramp up, even though it happened in Norway, it's going to be used to be, you know, to ramp up stuff here. And that's what they want. That's why, whether the people in the Truth Movement, Patriot Movement, the Tea Party Movement, all this stuff, the Militia Movement, whether they know it or not, they are being violently radicalized right now by the same CIA, Mossad, MI6, puppet masters that, you know, the grunts and the, Al-Qaeda grunts on the ground have been for the past few decades. And they have no idea. They don't even see it. Gun owners, constitutionalists, First Amendment people, Second Amendment people, truthers, patriots. See, they're trying to lump, see, this is what they're trying to do. They're trying to lump people who are into conspiracies into that whole thing, too. But fortunately, because now that we've figured out this stuff about the CMP and the Jesuit Order and the rest of these clowns, that's become more difficult for them to do. But that's what these guys like Jones and others have been put out there to do for years and years and years, is to, by use of psychological warfare and by giving people mostly real information while leaving out huge chunks of information, they're able to psychologically and violently radicalize a huge section of the population, not only in this country, but also in Europe and elsewhere throughout the world, and get them to want to have a violent revolt and a violent standoff with all governments of the world. This is how they are going to attempt to justify killing off huge, huge quantities of humans on this planet, ladies and gentlemen. And God damn it, if you don't ever listen to me about anything ever again, you better listen to me when I tell you that this is why I've spent 4 years of my life trying to warn you about Alex Jones, the Council for National Policy, the Jesuit Order, and the rest of this. All of my research has culminated and shown me they are trying to radicalize gun owners, people who have been brainwashed from the programming of America and flag wave and we'll stand up for the country. You are the new Al-Qaeda, whether you know it or not. And you don't have to even know it for them to deem you something. All of this, and you know, you see the cat, you see, then what do we do? You refuse to do anything. And you let them know that you're on to them. This is what we have to do. This is how we're going to win. If we don't act, or better, if we don't react in the way that they want us to, then their plan can't be achieved. And I've told you this many times, but, you know, when I first started getting into this stuff, when I first started, you know, found sort of the quote-unquote movement, you know, I was always just thrown off by that. And I could never understand why everybody was all, you know, get your bug-out bunker ready, get your storable foods, get your weapon and ammo and all this stuff, you know, get your water filters and, you know, radiation pills and all this. And it's just like, what is going on here? You know, come for survival training weapons school this weekend. I'm going, what is happening here? And then, of course, when I found out about the Council for National Policy and found out about Larry Pratt from Gun Owners of America and his involvement with the Council on Inter-American Security during the Iran-Contra affair, working in combination with the Jesuit-trained Pat Buchanan, being the go-between, funneling the money for the cocaine trade and the gun trade between the United States and South America. And then found out that you had Howard Phillips and Larry Pratt at a white supremacist meeting in Estes Park, Colorado in 1990. Right around the same time, you have Larry Pratt in his book, Armed People Victorious, saying, we need Contra-style militia death squads in the United States. They've been planning this, folks, for over two decades. We are now getting to the point where the thing that they've been creating and letting fester in the undercurrent and the underground, they're getting ready to bring to the head. All that Michigan militia stuff and all that stuff for years, this has all been a part of their plan. They've allowed this to flourish. They put a lot of money into this. It's the same exact thing they did to the South and the Southern states during the Civil War. It's no different. Why do you think you had Albert Pike, you know, a fucking Yankee? I mean, this guy was from Massachusetts, about the farthest thing from the South. You know, anybody from the South, he's anybody from Massachusetts, a goddamn Yankee. That's just how we're brought up down here. If you're from up north, you're a fucking Yankee. That's it. That's all there is to it. You can call us rednecks, hicks, and everything else like that. Beep, beep, beep. But that's the way we see that. Well, Albert Pike was the was a Confederate general. He's the guy that was, you know, credited with setting up the KKK. It's not too hard to see that this guy was an agent. I mean, my God, there's letters going between, you know, nobody ever mentions that. Alex Jones, these guys never mentioned that. There are letters during the Civil War going back from back and forth. The Vatican released them a year or so ago. Albert Pike and the Pope sending letters back and forth to each other. Reports on the war and how it's going. Yeah. They radicalized the South. They told them that there were, you know, there was a threat to their way of life. So they radicalized the South, got them to want a war with the North so that the North could land grab the Southern states on behalf of the Central European bankers and the Rothschilds who'd already started to take over America very hard at that point. So that the bankers, the Central European bankers and the priest class who control them could have control of another country to spread their religious indoctrination so it could go global and go worldwide. And that's exactly what they did. And they're trying to do that again. And what's funny is that the way it's looking like it's going, if it continues down this route, all the people that say they're standing up for the Constitution, for America and the flag and, you know, patriotism, guess what? If you guys allow these fuckers to psychologically radicalize you just like they did phony Al-Qaeda, which is exactly what's going on, guess what? You are going to be the sole responsible entities for the death and destruction of your so-called beloved America. And I'm here with my radio show and my film sort of to do my part to keep that from happening. We're going to take a break, come back, get into more news for you here tonight on the show. I don't know. We may read from Lost Book Inky tonight. We may not. I don't know. We got a lot of news here. And I got a lot to say. So we're going to take a break, come back, get into more of that for you here tonight on the show. This is the Global Reality for you right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
smiled upon us, sacrificed the augurs, all that he might help us see. Puzzled by the mountain, tricked by the sea. And the Argus has practiced compassion with an eye on you as one is on me. Will the God I grant his forgiveness and allow he that's lived a reason to see?
Right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for staying up late with us tonight, Moonbats. And we're going to get into more news for you here tonight, more stories and things to talk about with you on the broadcast. Love to hear from you as well. GlobalRealityShow@gmail.com. It's GlobalRealityShow@gmail.com. So if you have anything you want to send in, that's where you can send it over there tonight or anytime. Again, my website where this broadcast originates from, www.theglobalreality.com. That's LegalMorality.com, and we have the chipping banner, the donate button there. That's how we have support for our network. It's from listeners like yourself, and it keeps us commercial free and not and sponsor free. We don't have to sell you anything. You don't try to get, you know, you don't come and see ads, and I don't try to sell you anything. And even my films, I don't even promote really, because I'm not going to get here. Vonks, buy my movies, Vonks. You know, folks, if you don't buy my movies today, there's a good chance you're going to be in a FEMA camp. That's just all there is to it. I mean, you know, I just, I'm just not going to do that. But the way that that maintains that is with your support. So, shipping banner donate button is there. We also have a P.O. box address if you want to send in a check or something. You can do that there. Interesting story here. A mysterious circle on a grainy scan. This is what scientists are claiming is finally evidence the Earth has been visited by aliens. Have scientists found a crash flying saucer on the seabed? This is a Daily Mail article here. Very interesting. Researchers have claimed the fuzzy outline is a flying saucer that ended up 300 feet down on the ocean floor between Sweden and Finland. They were stunned when sonar scans taken while searching for a century-old wreck showed up the shape against the dirt. The ocean exploration team, which found it, claims that the earth around the craft has been scarred, suggesting it has tried to move around. Lead researcher Pete Lindberg also suggested another explanation, that it could be a new Stonehenge. It looks like the fucking Millennium Falcon, if you ask me. Look at that thing. It does. It looks like the freaking Millennium Falcon. It's, yeah. It's a Millennium Falcon, especially in the second picture, if you scroll down that article there. The discovery has sparked a flurry of speculation by UFO watchers and bloggers. Boy, wouldn't that be something? That's how they do it. You know, maybe this is how they're going to roll it out, huh? You never know. We pull a fucking, you know, a ship out of 300 feet below the ocean or below the sea. And, you know, this, who knows, this could be how they roll it. Then, see, then they don't have to admit to all the cover up for years. Well, we didn't know about it till this time. We had no idea. And we had never covered nothing up concerning UFOs. We just had no idea these things were real until now. See, and then they get plausible deniability, don't they? Yeah, then they can maintain their cover up. They can maintain their secrecy while simultaneously having a controlled outing of the existence of extraterrestrials. Some have even suggested it resembles the Millennium Falcon from the Star Wars series. It does. It really does. It's funny they say, "Well, dude, that's the first thing you can see. Look at that." I think Han was trying to make the Kessel run again or something and crash that motherfucker in the ocean. I don't know. Newspapers in Sweden have put the story on their front pages and asked if this is really the first sign of extraterrestrial life. The shape was found at the bottom of the Gulf of Botnia during a search for a sunken wreck which contained several cases of champagne. Mr. Lindbergh said it was large and about 60 feet in diameter, and clearly visible on the seabed. You see a lot of weird stuff in this job, but during my 18 years as a professional, I have never seen anything like this. The shape is completely round, he said. He added that the scars on the earth around surrounding it could show where the craft landed and skidded along. Now, however, his team do not have the money or resources to examine the shape further. Right. So they'll let those guys run out of money, but they discovered it. Somebody else will go in there and recover it and bring it up, and you know, it'll go into Hangar 18 or something. If it does turn out to be a UFO, it will be priceless. But if it is just a shape, it will be worthless. Such claims have been made many times in the past, the most famous of which was the Bimini Road, a rock formation in the Caribbean, which looked like a road. Experts have also pointed out that even the idea of a flying saucer's round object might be wrong. The first sighting of such a craft later turned out to be a reporting error. Yeah. You know, you read a story like that, and again, it's just the first thing that comes to your head is that this just feels and seems like a you know, a controlled rollout of this. Because as I mentioned, you know, they don't have to, years and years of a cover-up and years of secrecy on this stuff. They can, they don't even have to admit to any of that. They can keep all that still squared away and use this to roll out the existence of extraterrestrial life in the way they see fit. And that's how they love running operations. And I think that you'd be a fool to think they wouldn't do anything differently than that from right here with this. So this came out last week and I didn't cover this. This happened right over where I live. And it's a very strange story. I was inside and my friend comes in and says, "Hey man, you're not going to believe this. This fucking plane is flying low outside spraying chemtrails like right over our house." And I think somebody got video of it on their phone. American Airlines jet dumps fuel and makes emergency landing at DFW. Now listen to this. This is very shady. This was scary, man. I mean, it looked like it. I thought a plane was about to crash. I've had this recurring dream for several years of being outside and seeing a plane just crash and blow up. And I mean, even before 9/11 and stuff. But it was insane. But they dumped this fuel over right where I live. And I mean, I'm sitting here going, man, you know, this somebody like me and what I do, sometimes this stuff makes me think this is on purpose. But apparently they said there was a fire and they dumped all their fuel. I'll just read the story. It says federal investigators are reviewing what led to the emergency landing of an American Airlines Boeing 777 that dumped fuel over North Texas on Sunday, July 24th. Flight 963 carried a heavy load of fuel as it left Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport for Sao Paulo, Brazil at about 8 p.m. with 246 passengers and 14 crew members. American Airlines spokesman Tim Smith said a right engine fire warning indicator appeared in the cockpit shortly after takeoff. So they had they dumped the fuel over huge, massive, you know, residential populations. They got back and did an emergency landing, and when they got back and did an emergency landing, there was no fire. And they said, "Oh, it was just a faulty alarm or something." And all last week, I had all my friends, a bunch of people I knew, we all had weird sinus stuff going on, stopped up noses and sinus headaches. And they said, "Oh, there's nothing. It would have dissipated before it ever hit the ground." I don't think so, man. This fucking plane was low. It was at maybe a couple of hundred feet. But, I was a witness to this. And it just seems real shit. The fact that it happened right where I live, it just makes it real suspicious to me that when they landed the plane, there was no fire. I mean, a bunch of people got sick from this. And they said, "Oh, no, nobody got sick from this. It's unrelated, blah, blah, blah." No. So this is absolutely criminal. I mean, there's all kinds of benzene and all kinds of nasty stuff in that. And, it's just crazy. I understand you can't take off. Well, they did take off with a full load of fuel. I guess they did. Yeah, you can take off with it, but you can't land with it. Yeah, I understand that. But point of the matter is there was no fire. Chicago CBS affiliate WBBM is under fire for editing a 4-year-old African-American boy's remarks to make him seem prone to gang violence. Oh, this is classy. Real, real class it took to do that. Man, 4-year-olds, really? You guys are trying to make black 4-year-olds look like gang members now, huh, in the media. But that's class. The young boy's comments were played during a story about a drive-by shooting of two teenagers in a Chicago neighborhood. In the edited video, the young boy says that he is scared of nothing and confidently states that when he is older, he is going to have me a gun. After playing the video, one news anchor comments, "That is scary indeed," and another anchor adds, "Hearing that little boy there, wow." In the unedited video, the boy explains that he is going to have a gun because he is going to be a police officer. CBS, too, has acknowledged that a mistake was made. Yeah, you bet your ass a mistake was made. You know, imagine that. You have a little kid who's actually, you know, because, you know, when you're young, you're idealistic and, you know, you want to do something. You want to do the right thing, you know, and gradually we get conditioned to not hold on to that. But here you have this little kid saying that he wants to grow up and be a cop so he can, you know, stop murders and stuff from happening. They edit to make it look like he's a four-year-old gang member. I mean, that's just fucking disgusting. Man, I hang these motherfuckers up by their toenails and let them hang out outside in the 102-degree temperature here in Dallas and throw some fucking Crisco on them. See how they feel after a couple of hours. Former Bush NSA director calls for digital Blackwater. God damn, just when you thought it couldn't get any kookier, huh? That's just what we need. Regular Blackwater wasn't good enough. Now we have digital Blackwater. Kicking your door in and killing your wife and kids in the digital domain. Here we come. It's the crusade against the internet. Not the crusade 2.0, the crusade 3.0. We're upgrading, baby. We're going digital. Unfucking believable. The man who headed the NSA and CIA under President George W. Bush suggested Friday that mercenaries were needed to deal with growing cyber threats. General Michael Hayden told the Aspen Security Forum. That sounds like that's close to the Aspen Group, which is a CMP enclave. That in the near future, the Department of Defense may have to allow the creation of a digital Blackwater. Private sector offense might be one of those new big ideas in terms of how we have to conduct ourselves in this new cyber domain, Hayden explained. You think back long enough in history and there are times when the private sector was responsible for its own defense. We may come to a point where defense is more actively and aggressively defined even for the private sector, and what is permitted there is something that we would never let the private sector do in physical space. Let me really throw out a bumper sticker for you. How about a digital Blackwater, he suggested. I mean, we have privatized certain defense activities, even in physical space, and now you've got a new domain in which we don't have any path trampled down on in the forest in terms of what it is we expect the government or will allow the government to do. In the past, when that has happened, private sector expands to fill the empty space. I'm not quite an advocate for that, but these are the kinds of things that are going to be put into play here very soon. So a digital Blackwater, so a bunch of thugs who can kill you, destroy you, do whatever they want to do to you above any laws in the digital domain. Yeah, that's really what we need. Yeah, let's have that. I'm telling you, man, it's not going to be any of this stuff. It's not going to be taking the guns away. It's not going to be crashing the economy. It's not going to be food riots. It's going to be one thing. Take away the porn. As soon as they shut down porn on the internet, riots in the streets. Garrett fucking T. I'm not even playing. It'll be okay till then. As soon as you can't get free porn on the internet anymore, oh, the motherfuckers will be out there with pitchforks and guns, and you better watch your ass. And when Sally Soccer Mom can't get any money out of the ATM to bang the pool boy and go to the Gap, you're going to have problems. That's a fact. Dragonfly drones and cyborg moths. Tiny flying robots set to be the future of spying and rescue missions. This is what I'm talking about. I mean, how many times do I have to get up here and read this story? I have read some version of this story 80 times since I've been on air. Yes, we know. Every fucking week. New. Yeah. And I see shit all the time, and I swear to God, are insects that are drones, and people just laugh at me. They've had this shit for years, man. Robo Roach and all that crap. They've had all that stuff for years and years and years. The next generation of military robots is said to be based on designs inspired by the insect world. The Dragonfly drones and cyborg moths with built-in micro cameras could revolutionize spying missions and rescue operations and make it easier to have a camera and a microphone in everybody's home everywhere at all times. It all feeds into a massive supercomputer system and assimilates data and information while keeping it in its memory banks and using it when it needs to. This advantage of using drones is that they can be used in emergency situations. Yeah, it's always, oh yeah, let's sell them on the emergency situations. No. This is so they can get away with spying on people without them knowing about it and using that for their advantage. Period, end of story. You know this is going on. How many more times can I tell you it's going on? U.S. spies are now developing technology that would allow computers to pinpoint where in the world a picture was taken. The system would be used by the military to track down terrorists who are in hiding in remote regions. Right. Right. Never be used to tell where you're at or anything. No, we're using this for Al-Qaeda. U.S. Base Intelligence Advanced Project. Oh, I should have known. It's DARPA and IARPA doing that. Please. And again, if they're telling us they want it or they're working on it, it means they've had it for 10 years minimum. I mean, all these stories, I'm so sick of it to death of this stuff. Shit we've known for years, like this. Why the 2,000-year-old Pantheon in Rome might actually be a giant sundial. No. Oh, my goodness gracious. I would have never thought that. The temple was precisely constructed to direct a beam of light to illuminate the entrance at the exact moment the emperor entered the dome. Really? No. We wouldn't build temples to venerate sun kings and deities and all this stuff, would we? Never in a million years. As if we didn't already know this. Give me a fucking break. Now historians have come up with an intriguing explanation for the feature. It was a built-in sundial to illuminate the emperor as he entered on important occasions. Yeah. Hello, duh. God damn it. Every week, you know, here, I mean, it's like Groundhog Day sometimes looking at the news for me. Didn't we just have a fucking story last week about a glow-in-the-dark pig or a glow-in-the-dark, you know, whatever the new fucking Asian hot thing is of the year? It's like Groundhog Day. Every week, I swear to God, I'm reading variations of some story I read last week. Here's another one. First, there was the glow-in-the-dark cat. Now meet Tagon, the world's first glowing dog. I mean, this is just fucked up. They're actually manipulating DNA to create glow-in-the-dark animals for novelty. I mean, we are in the Fourth Reich. Look at that. I put a picture of that in the chat room. Your glow-in-the-dark puppy paw there. I mean, we are in the Fourth Reich. By day, Tagon looks like any other beagle, but under the cover of darkness, she can glow an eerie green. South Korean scientists say that they have created a fluorescent dog using a cloning technique that could help find cures for human diseases such as Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. The breakthrough comes 3 years after U.S. boffins made a glow-in-the-dark cat by modifying its DNA. All right. You're trying to tell us they're looking for cures to diseases they already have that they're not going to let us have anyway? No, they just want to make a glow-in-the-dark animal. I mean, what medical value are we going to get from a glow-in-the-dark animal? They never explain that. I mean, I'll read it here, but they say what they would like to do, but they never tell you how it's going to work. Same here. I'm reading, nope. Tagon, who was born in 2009, was found to beam a bright green under ultraviolet light if given dioxicillin antibiotic. Researchers from Seoul University College of Veterinary Medicine who completed the two-year test of the ability to glow can be turned on or off by adding a drug to the dog's food. Well, yeah. The creation of Tagon opens up new horizons as the gene injected to make the dog glow can be substituted with genes that trigger fatal human diseases. They said the dog was created using the somatic cell nuclear transfer technology that the university used to make the world's first cloned dog, Snuppy, in 2005. The scientists said that because there are 268 illnesses that humans and dogs have in common, creating dogs that artificially show up symptoms could aid in treatment methods for diseases that afflict humans. So, okay, well, we'll see. I still think it's fucked up, but, you know, whatever works, I guess. Men build small flying spy drone that cracks Wi-Fi and cell data. Built by Mike Tassie and Richard Perkins, the Wireless Aerial Surveillance Program, this is from digitaltrends.com, otherwise known as the WASP, is a flying drone that has a 6-foot wingspan, a 6-foot length, and weighs in at 14 pounds. The small form factor of the unmanned aerial vehicle allows it to drop under radar and is often mistaken for a large bird. It was built for an Army target drone and converted to run on electric batteries rather than gasoline. It can also be loaded with GPS information and fly a predetermined course without the need of an operator. Taking off and landing have to be done manually with the help of a mounted HD camera. However, the most interesting aspect of the drone is that it can crack Wi-Fi networks and GSM networks as well as collect the data from them. So they could be flying these things over us all the time now. Whenever they want to, just cracking our, you know, Wi-Fi and everything else. They don't care. What are you going to do about it, slave? You're not going to do anything. You're just going to run your mouth and bitch and piss and moan about it, but you're not going to do anything. They don't care. Joe Biden likens tea parties to terrorists. Just like I told you earlier, here it is. You know, on the heels of the Norway thing, this is what they want, trying to goad everybody into a fight. And there are going to be people that are going to run rushing to it. Ted Gunderson, FBI guy, Ted Gunderson, kicked the bucket yesterday. I got to tell you, man, I heard from a lot of inside sources through the years of doing this show that Ted Gunderson was not former FBI, but current standing FBI. Everybody thought he was a big truther and a big, you know, patriot and all this. And I've heard a lot of stories on the fact that Ted Gunderson was an undercover operator for the FBI and the Central Intelligence Agency, that whose sole purpose was to identify and try to connect certain patriots and truthers and militia types as homegrown radicals, violent radicals, basically white, you know, domestic terrorist Al-Qaeda. And so, hey, you know, one less spook. I'll just replace him with somebody else and the operation will continue. But, you know, people need to know that. You know, anytime you hear somebody say ex-FBI, ex-CIA, do not trust that person. Nobody's ex anything when it comes to the alphabet agencies, okay? Especially not somebody who's claiming to be on your team when it comes to info and all this stuff. You need to run away from that as fast and as quick as you possibly can. Let's see what else I have here. you know what? I'm fucking done with the news tonight. We left off at the beginning of the ninth tablet the other night. We read the synopsis of the ninth tablet out of the Lost Book of Enki. And so tonight we're going to pick up here on page 194. I'm going to read just a little bit tonight. Normally I don't read on Monday nights, but I'm going to do a little bit here. Beginning of tablet number 9 of the Lost Book of Enki. In the days of Lubok, Marduk and the Agigi were intermarrying with Earthlings. In those days, the hardships on Earth were increasing. In those days on Mars, with dryness and dust, the planet was enveloped. The Anunnaki who decree the fates Enlil and Enki and Ninma consulted with each other. What conditions on Earth and on Lamu, Mars, were they altering, they wondered. On the sun flarings they observed, in the net forces of Earth and Mars, there were disruptions. In the Abzu, at the tip of the Whiteland facing, they installed far-observing instruments. In charge of Nurgle, the son of Enki, and his spouse Ereshkigal, the instruments were put. To the land beyond the seas, Ninurta was assigned. In the mountain land, a band to heaven and earth was established. Now, that's interesting. To the land beyond the seas, Ninurta was sent. What is the land beyond the seas on Earth? Where would that be? And a mountain land that had where they establish a band from heaven to earth. Now, that would be an area that is riddled with tons of mountains, possibly the Himalayas. And a band from heaven to earth to establish would be a portal, a stargate, a wormhole, something they could jump back and forth between. So it says they erected this in a mountain land. Well, could this be where, where the mystical area known as Shambhala, could this be where that is located? You know, in the area in the Himalayas where, you know, people have reported seeing UFOs flying in and out of that mountain for centuries? Very well could be. I don't know. On Lamu, the Agigu were restless. Marduk was given the task to pacify them. Until we know what are causing these hardships, the way station on Mars must be kept, Marduk said to the leaders. The three whose fates decree with each other consulted. They looked at each other and said, look how old the others are. Enki, who was still grieving the death of Adapa, was the first one to speak. More than 100 shars since my arrival have passed, he said to his brother and sister. I was a dashing leader then, and now I am bearded, tired, and old. I was an enthusiastic hero. I was ready for command and adventure. Now I have children who have children, all born on Earth. On Earth, we become old. But those who are born on Earth become old even sooner. As for me, an old sheep, they call me, Nenma said. While the others have been coming and going and taking turns serving on Earth, we, the leaders, have stayed and stayed. Perchance it is time to leave, Enlil said. Of that, I often wondered, Enki was saying to them, each time one of us and three to revisit Nibiru wished, word from Nibiru came saying that was going to be prevented, that we couldn't return. Of that, I too did wonder, Enlil was saying. Is it a thing on Nibiru or a thing on Earth? Perchance the life cycles, perchance it concerns the life cycles that differ, Nenmo was saying. To watch and see what transpires, they decided. At that time, fate, or was it destiny, took matters into its own hands. For it came to pass that soon thereafter, Marduk came to his father Enki. He wished to discuss a matter of gravity with his father Enki. Upon the earth, the three sons of Enlil have chosen spouses. Ninurta Bal of Anu, a young daughter, has a spouse. Nanar has chosen Ningal. Ishkar Shala has taken. By Nurgle, your son Ereshkigal of Enlil, a granddaughter, has taken a spouse. By threats to kill her, her consent from her was extracted. To await my espousal being your firstborn, Nurgle did not wait. The other four in deference are awaiting my espousal. I wish to choose a bride to have a spouse that is of my desire, so Marduk did say to his father Enki. Your words make me happy, Enki said to Marduk. Your mother too shall rejoice. To hold his words to Enki, Marduk with a raised hand to his father motioned. Is she one of the young ones who heal and give you succor? What is succor? S-U-C-C-O-R. I mean, I can only think that's one thing. Because they're always saying when they're, you know, she gives good succor. I mean, are they talking about getting, are they talking about, you know, getting their knob slobbed? I mean, it's the only thing I can think of. Because they only say it in reference to females. And they're always telling you, oh yeah, she's a good healer. She can give you succor.
Suck it, King's cock.
Enki went on to ask, a descendant of Adapa she is. of Earth, not Nibiru, she is, Marduk softly whispered. With a puzzled look, Enki was speechless. And then he shouted uncontrolled words. A prince of Nibiru, a firstborn to succession entitled, will espouse an earthling? Not an earthling, but your own offspring, he said to Marduk. A daughter of Enkim, who was taken to heaven. Sarpanit is her name. Enki summoned his spouse Ninki. To her, he related what transpired with Marduk. To Ninki, his mother Marduk, his heart's desire, he repeated and said, when Enkim with me was journeying of heaven and earth, to him I was teaching what my father had once said, I witnessed with my own eyes. Step by step on this planet, a primitive being, one like us to be, we have created. In our image and in our likeness, civilized earthling is, except for the long life, we are he and he is we. A daughter of Enkim caught my fancy, and I wish to espouse her. Page 197. Is where we will pick up tomorrow night here on the show. And we had quite a bit of news tonight. I wasn't planning on reading much, so we're going to leave it there. Again, we do need your support at the website, theglobalreality.com. The chipping banner on the donate button is there. That's how you support us. That's how you help us pay the bills. We just had to pay all the bills for the month, so please help out if you can. My name is Josh Reeves. I love each and every one of you. We'll see you tomorrow for the broadcast. You guys have a great night, Moonbats. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. We'll see you later.